Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Hey everybody, welcome into the Cubs Talk podcast, sponsored by Wintrust. Tony Andracki here with Jared Willis, recapping the Cubs-Reds series at Wrigley Field before the Cubs' final road trip and plane trip of the regular season. Jared, you were out here for Friday and Saturday, here for Sunday as well, and you know, the Cubs ended up somehow beating the Reds 2 out of 3 games despite scoring just 5 runs. But then we saw a couple controversial plays here on Sunday. Victor Caratini's foul ball that maybe should have been called fair. And then Wilson Contreras came, you know, this close, inches away from a game-tying homer and didn't run, something that Joe Maddon called horrible. And really, I've hardly ever seen Maddon like this about one of his own players. But how would you sum up the weekend overall?
Well, overall, like you said, the offense has been largely absent. And luckily for them, they pulled off a win in the first two games of this series, because ordinarily if you score 5 runs across an entire weekend, you're not going to get a lot of wins that, you know, more often than not you'd expect to be coming away from a sweep at this point. So the fact that they won the first two makes this third game a little easier to accept. But like you said, there were a couple of spots there, a couple opportunities where that extra run could have been pushed across, or a spot where an inning, the course of an inning could have been changed pretty dramatically, like the Caratini hit to first base that, you know, from the press box looked fair. Obviously on the field it was ruled foul, and then that changed the outcome there pretty significantly.
Yeah, and on the Caratini play, I mean, the Cubs dugout, they thought that it was fair, but unfortunately, from Maddon's perspective, as he was explaining it, he can't ask for a review. That's not on the list of reviewable plays. So the umpire called it foul. It was foul. They can't go look at it. There's nothing they can do about it. So, you know, with a Cubs offense that is scuffling, that could have been a huge play. That would have, you know, given one run. And it was Daniel Murphy, not exactly fleet of foot on first base, but with two outs, who knows how the ball caroms off the wall and how you know, the Reds fielders that defended after that. So it could have possibly tied the game, but either way, it looms large. But the Contreras thing, it was one of, you know, it did lead to the Cubs' only run of the game, a double off the wall. It was positive in the sense that we've hardly ever seen Contreras hit one even close to the wall over the last 6 weeks. So that was very positive. But then he pimped it coming out of the box. He did not run. He walked. He should have actually been out at second base had the Reds had Scooter Gennett been paying attention when he fielded the throw in. So Addison Russell gets the third, later scores. Wilson Contreras nearly was out at second. And afterwards, Maddon just, he didn't lay unfairly into Contreras, but, you know, he called it horrible. He said that it will definitely be addressed, and the whole team didn't like it. So it's actually cut to Maddon right now, and then Wilson Contreras actually reacted and said that he was embarrassed for it. So we'll hear from both of them.
What about Wilson not getting out of the box?
Horrible. I didn't like that at all. Not at all. And that will be addressed. The whole team didn't like that.
What I did was not good for baseball, and a lot of people that's watching it, and I know they're being really hard on me, because at first I thought it was gone. I kind of walked, and then I started running hard, so I was bad on my side. I'm embarrassed with myself. I apologize to the pitcher and to the team. And I think that's the right thing to do. And other than that, I got to second base. There were running the same inning was second and third situation, and we just get to score only one.
So that was Joe Maddon and Wilson Contreras talking about Wilson Contreras pipping the possible home run that the wind knocked down, ended up being a double. But Jared, what was your takeaway from that whole Contreras incident, I guess we'll call it?
Well, first of all, I mean, the decision to stand there and watch it, you know, I know he hit the ball very hard. He made really good contact, which, like you said, is nice to see given what Contreras has done. But in a situation like that, in this close of a game, better that you're taken off for first base and you get to slow down realizing that you've hit a home run as opposed to what we saw happen. Because he really did get very, very lucky that he wasn't thrown out at second base, which would have, you know, possibly prevented even the one run from scoring.
Probably, given that it was driven in on, you know, Elmora's fly out, if that would have been the third out
right,
of the inning.
So. Then there's no opportunity for a sacrifice fly there. So, and who knows, you know, obviously it didn't end up mattering in the end, but I was to hear Madden react the way that he did, it was, you could tell that it was something that really bothered him, that he's gonna respond to. And then Contreras' reaction in the clubhouse afterward, I think he probably the kind of thing that he recognized right away, that wasn't a smart choice. I didn't do the right thing there, because he said he apologized to the Reds pitcher on his way, you know, on his way back to the dugout there. But when your offense is struggling to score runs, when you're fighting to win games with the Brewers on your heels, those are the kind of little mental slip-ups you just can't afford to have.
Yeah, and, you know, it's Wilson was saying that he, you know, kind of forgot about the wind, I guess, or didn't take it into account. But for a guy that plays half his games at Wrigley Field, the wind is we know it. It's a factor literally every day. There is never no wind at Wrigley, so it's either blowing in a little bit, blowing out a little bit. It affects the trajectory of the ball, especially in that part of the ballpark where it's not blocked by a video board. It was to center field, but the wind coming in from the lake, pushing it, you know, down right field, that's the only reason it didn't go out. So, yes, you know, in normal circumstances, in neutral circumstances, it's a two-run game-tying homer. But so that, you know, that was obviously something that, you know, maybe it cost Contreras more playing time in that game too, because with Quintana coming out of the game, it's very possible Madden would have decided to leave Contreras in to catch, play the rest of the game, pull Caratini instead. But, you know, we saw Wilson go back to the bench. And so I also saw a lot of people getting on Addison Russell on that play, and I was very confused because Russell had already, like, was at second and rounding it, and that ball is hanging in the air. Russell realized the wind. I don't think Russell deserves any blame whatsoever for not scoring. With one out on a ball that could still be caught, you can't advance past the second base, because if you do and Hamilton catches that ball in center, Russell's dead to rights at first and the Cubs don't even have a runner on base. So I think it's ridiculous that anybody would even get mad at Russell on that, having seen the replay several times now.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's misplaced criticism, because the way that ball was hanging in the air, as I was watching it, there's a part of me that was expecting maybe he catches it at the wall, and then he's in a really bad spot there. So I see absolutely nothing wrong with the way Russell played that. You know, ironically, he was exhibiting, I thought, some smart base running at a time when Contreras wasn't. But I saw nothing wrong with what Russell did there.
And, you know, base running is kind of the story of the day. Obviously, the Cubs' low offensive output is, but base running as well. Jared, you and I were talking about it. Bottom of the eighth inning, two outs, Cubs down by a run. Daniel Murphy comes through with only his second hit in his last 20 at-bats. And it's a shot, you know, just inside the third base bag. Caroms off the wall. Murphy, who has had knee issues, we've seen his limited range and, you know, base running ability recently in the month or so that he's been with the Cubs, thrown out at second by, you know, a country mile. Just this play was nowhere near close. And we were commenting that actually looms large because, yeah, sure, it's only a single, but they could have chosen the pinch run Terrence Gore for him.
Right.
So then you have your hottest hitter, Victor Caratini, coming up on deck. Gore should score from first with two outs on any extra base hit Caratini has. Possibility that he might also even score in a single. Or Gore could have pinch run, stole second, and then a bloop hit scores Gore, and, you know, the game's tied. And either way there, you know, Madden kind of defended Daniel Murphy, saying that it took a weird hop off the wall. But Murphy had plenty of time to see that, still chose to go to second. And I thought it was just another base running gaffe in a really close game for the Cubs.
Yeah, and in a close game like that, again, those are the kinds of little mistakes that you can't really afford to have. Because to me, at that late in the game, what you don't want to do is give away an out like that. So better that you stay at first, play it a little more conservatively. I understand the desire to be aggressive and try to get that extra base. But like you pointed out, this is the exact reason that they have Terrence Gore on the roster. So if you're Daniel Murphy, you stay at first base and you give Madden the opportunity to create this situation. Because like we saw today, Caratini he smoked the ball a couple of times. You know, it's some bad luck. It was straight into somebody's glove, but he had a couple of hits that were over 100 miles an hour off the bat. So you never know. All he has to do is his line went into right field, and there's a good chance that Terrence Gore scores from first, or like you pointed out, he hasn't already stolen second and then scores from there. So little things like that, little details, and in close games, they really loom large. And you can't afford to make when you've got a narrow deficit in the division that you had the opportunity today to widen a little bit further with the Brewers losing to the Pirates.
Yeah, and, you know, with that, the Cubs do still maintain a 2.5 lead game lead in the division. The Brewers lost the last two games to the series with the Pirates. So, you know, heading into Monday, exactly 2 weeks left in the regular season, Cubs are still in an enviable position. But I agree with you. It feels like Sunday was a missed opportunity. But, you know, at the same time, like, you know, as we're criticizing these base running mistakes, it's you got to think about the fact that these guys have been to a ballpark for 27 days in a row now.
Yeah.
They have these last 3 days coming up, you know, in this 30 and 30 stretch. But, you know, even that, they have a night game Wednesday night in Arizona. They're not going to be done until about midnight Central time. And then they're going to have to load everything up, go to the airport, climb in the plane, you know, get all the way back to Chicago, lose an hour or two in the process. I mean, they're not going to get home until probably about 4 a.m. Thursday morning for their only, quote-unquote, off day.
Yeah.
For the rest of the season. So, you know, they should be able to rest, actually not having to show up to the ballpark at all Thursday. Then Friday is a night game on the south side, so they can still sleep in their own beds despite a road game. So that, obviously, is good. But then, you know, we were also talking with the Diamondbacks coming up. This was an NL contender. They technically still are, but they also seem to be fading pretty quickly here, the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, they've not had a good couple of weeks here. They haven't won a series since like the third week of August. It's been August 21st and 22nd, I believe it was, a two-game series against the Angels. And so they've lost every series since then. So they're really in a pretty heavy skid. And so maybe the Cubs can go in there, take advantage of that, capitalize on that, and win this series, and then come back home and kind of enjoy the day off, even though, like you pointed out, there's not going to be a lot of rest, at least physically. But if nothing else, I think, as we talked about the mental mistakes, having the one day where you just don't have to think about baseball, you don't have to come to the park, they can do whatever they want to do that Thursday and just take a break mentally. I think, if anything, that mental break may be bigger than the physical one, because, again, over the weekend, when your road trip is to, you know, guaranteed right field, it hardly feels like a road trip at all.
Yeah, and, you know, Chris Bryant actually said the exact thing that you brought up, that right now mentally is the tougher part. I mean, physically, you can get through it, and some guys can't. Kyle Schwarber, still dealing with the back injury, will not travel to Arizona. He can't get through it. Obviously, Pedro Strop can't. It's, you know, those are actual injuries, but the little nicks and bruises and, you know, just feeling achy and sore, guys like Bryant and Baez got the day off on Sunday. So, you know, they can get through that. But that mental grind, like you said, and especially even Bryant admitted it, and he wasn't even up here until September 1st. He missed, you know, almost a week of this stretch that they're in right now. So it is tough. You're seeing it. You're seeing it in the offense. You're seeing it in the hitting. Somehow the Cubs pitching, especially the starting pitching, has been keeping them in these games and keeping them in the race, you know, that 2.5 game lead. So that day off should help them reset. In a way, they almost kind of get a little bit of a half day off. Obviously, they have to travel, but, you know, they get Sunday night and then Monday out in Arizona as well. So they get a decent amount of time. It's not a quick turnaround. So all of these things, maybe the Cubs will be in a better position mentally when we see them play the White Sox. But I'm sure, you know, as you know, being around this city, White Sox fans and the White Sox in general, this might be their World Series.
Yeah.
Is going against the Cubs, trying to beat the Cubs in this three-game series. They obviously have nothing else to play for this year. There's going to be a lot of bragging rights on the line from the Southsiders this weekend.
Absolutely. This, with a week left in the season at that point, and the opportunity to do some damage to the Cubs' division title hopes, you know that, you know, as much as maybe the players might downplay it, there's a little bit of something there where they play up against the Cubs, and we've heard the Cubs players say it, that everybody brings their best game against the Cubs because they want to beat them, like, you know, maybe more so than some other teams. But for the White Sox especially, that's a really big series. There's some bragging rights for sure. And as I think most fans know, that's Hawk Harrelson's last weekend calling games. And not that he directly impacts anything that happens on the field, but You know, he's hoping for the chance to rub it in the Cubs fans' faces one last time.
All right, that'll do it for our Cubs Talk podcast. Again, we are sponsored by Wintrust. Head to wintrust.com/Cubs for more info. Thanks for listening.